Anyways.
Here we go. Nice.
So Brock, what are you doing, man? Like what's your deal?
Yeah.
It's
So
my
far, it looks pretty good, you know?
Well, you know what I mean? Like we're talking to you, you're down there in South America. What's going on?
Yeah. Without going to, esoterical and completely woo-woo spiritual on your ass,
You want to get all Edgar Casey on us? Go ahead, man.
I already had to Google a word just now. I don't know what you just said, but that's okay.
I'm just following my heart's calling. I've had
Okay.
a deep desire to go on this trip with no information about it, no research. A trip like what I'm on, riding a motorcycle from the Pacific Northwest down to South America with a goal of hitting all 21 countries, Latin American countries, that is. Typically I would suspect that one would do research. Someone would probably be like, all right, what's
Not
the best
us.
out? And you look up like the Pan American Highway, and I have no desire to follow a specific path or do a specific thing. I'm just going with the flow. So I woke up on, well, I'll go back to answer your question.
Well, real quick, hold on. Yeah. Dirty, go ahead. Start us off.
So where are you originally from, man?
Thank you. And what's your
Originally,
name, your full name?
yeah, my name's Brock Schadler. I'm originally from Washington State, a small town, small-ish town, 70,000 people-ish, called Pasco.
And you're
Farm.
saying one day you woke up and you decided, hey, let's go ride around South America.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a fair bit of traveling here and there, and I did, it's kind of like a friend of a friend I had heard gone on like a group trip on like a kind of like an adventure bike with some guys to Argentina, and did kind of the popular kind of following the Pan American Highway.
Yeah.
And so that kind of planted a seed, and that was about 10 years ago, which was years before I even owned a bike. So it was just there. I was like, I'm gonna do that. It was kind of like a bucket list thing, like, okay, noted, I'm gonna do that. No plans, no date, no even vehicle, no moto for the trip, but like, I'm gonna do that.
And what did you choose to ride?
So, it was really only I've wanted to buy a motorcycle for years, and it was really only I'd ridden a couple overseas. I rode one as a kid. My grandpa had a little like something, some like random made bike. I don't know, it was like a 50 or 100 or something, some little bike that he taught me to ride on
Sure.
when I was a little kid. And that's pretty much my only experience. And then when I went overseas a couple times, I'd rent bikes and be like, shit, I should really buy one. But I spent the better part of the last 7 or 8 years overseas, and so I just could get by without a vehicle. And so when I moved back to the Pacific Northwest recently, moved back about 3 years ago, I decided it was time to get a bike, and I was just doing the hunt for it. Didn't want to get something too big for somewhat of an amateur, right? And so I ended up settling on an Indian Scout Bobber, a 2018.
Oh, they're nice bikes, man. So you rode that from Washington all the way down to South America, or?
Yeah, well, I'm in Nicaragua right now,
Okay.
so. Yeah, I actually the trip kind of started with me riding to Austin, Texas. And I, again, going back to my poor planning, I just didn't even think of the fact you need all your original title registration, all that stuff. So I was like, oh shit. So I had to have my family mail me my documents to cross the border to Mexico. So I had like an extra couple weeks. So I rode over to North Carolina and then down to Florida and then back over to Austin and then started the trip.
Where'd you go in Florida?
Right on the edge, Pensacola.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, just kind of through the edge there, and then back through New Orleans. Stayed a night in New Orleans, had a night out, and then just headed back to Austin and made the trek down south through Mexico.
Fucking love it, man.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome, dude. But I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised you said you needed papers to cross into Mexico because from what I hear, you don't need papers to cross from Mexico to the US anymore.
Yeah, they
So
give you money too and health
that's kind of
care and
crazy, man.
Well, it's kind of like what is need, right? Because there's rules that say you
Yeah.
need to, but all the shit that I did that set me back 2 weeks, 3 weeks didn't matter because you're absolutely right. When I got to the border, they just waved me through. I was like, oh, cool. Really glad I spent an extra 2, 3 weeks spending money and mailing all these docs, when in reality, like they just waved me right through. But I mean, best to be, because you don't want to get pulled over, and
Yeah.
you don't want to give the cops any leverage. on you, because then the fee goes up, right?
Well, from what I understand, they're not exactly
in charge.
They're not exactly on the up and up when it comes to law enforcement down there. It's kind of pay to play, from what I understand.
And I've paid to play. I got pulled over in Mexico City, and the guy was like, "Yeah, infraction, you know, infracciones, and we got to go to the station." And he's playing the long game. He knows that if he makes it sound really difficult, that I'm gonna be like, "Can I just give you money?" So, you know what I mean, Zeke? We got to go all the way over here. It's going to be all the way over there. It's going to take all this time. And I'm just like, all right, man, how much do you want? And so we settled on some amount of money, which was like $20 or whatever, right? And he looks up and he goes, he's like, not here. And he made me follow him down the road in a dark, dark area where there wasn't a camera.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm like, that's fine. Sounds good.
So you basically came through Texas, got into Mexico, and now you're in Nicaragua.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's been about 2.5 months now, 3.5 months total, but about a month travel through the States. And then now, another 2.5 months in Central America so far.
Right on.
So making my way towards Panama so I can put my bike on a boat or a plane and ship it over to Colombia and continue the trek.
Going to Colombia?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So
be the first stop in South America.
Okay. So
yep.
What's it been like? Is it, I mean, other than, you know, the cops hassling you in Mexico City, what's the protocol? Are you just staying in Airbnbs, cowboy camping? What are we doing?
I got to know. Have you seen any cartel action, any decapitated heads and bodies and stuff? Like, you read in the news, you know,
I've seen some bodies. No, nothing too crazy like that. But I did come across, I was driving through Mexico and I came across a crime scene right off an exit. They had it all marked out. There was a body with something over it. They had this whole area. I mean, it's just remote little place. It wasn't a place where there was a car crash. So I'm like, okay, something not so great happened there. And I did pull up on a pretty bad wreck in El Salvador. I just got there right at the scene of a crime, and there's a guy laying in the middle of the road, dead, shut down 3 hours. I was just sitting right there on the side of the road. So yeah, I've seen some stuff. No, I don't know if it's cartel related or not, but definitely, yeah, come across a few things here. But it's been, not to go too dark, it's been amazing. It's been truly amazing. You know, have you guys like flown to Mexico and done the typical like Cabo, Puerto Vallarta, Cancun type of thing?
Over the border once at Juarez.
Okay. Because that's what most people do, right? Most people, you fly to the beach, that's Mexico. You know, that's what we did. You know, I was fortunate growing up. My parents made that a thing where almost every year we'd go to Cabo, right? And like, that's a good time, loved it. But, you know, riding a bike through Mexico, having already been to Mexico probably 10 times in my life, like, I'm like, holy shit, this is the first time I've been to Mexico. This is actually experiencing Mexico. It's got a lot to offer. And I think you guys, listen to some of your past episodes, I think you guys would appreciate like the lifestyle there. Like the lifestyle in Mexico is very much, it makes me almost feel like it's like really the last frontier. I know people are, we got a border thing, all these people coming over, but I'll tell you what, it's the culture there is cool. Like they're out there, you know, all these people, they got land, they got cows. It's all organic stuff, you know.
We're a big fan of their food.
Yeah. We're big Mexican food eaters. Hell yeah. Oh, I eat tacos every day, my man.
Oh, every day. Dirty at tacos. So
every day. I didn't mess around, but really it's kind of like it just makes me feel like it's the last frontier.
Well, you know? Dirty asked you where you've been staying.
Yeah. So I've been staying in Airbnbs. So having wheels kind of opens it up, right? I don't have to stay in a city and take taxis everywhere. I prefer, because I'm also building a business while I'm on the road. So I really prefer booking places that are 20, 30 minutes outside of cities, or even just really remote in the middle of nowhere, so that I can go into deep creative work mode and create content. And I like having zero distractions, you know, so I'll just kind of find Airbnbs, a budget, maybe $15 to $30 max. Okay. Right there. Every once in a while, I'll splurge like this place. I think it was like 60 something, but.
Oh, and it comes with a little Chiquita too. We saw that.
I know. A little built-in housekeeper.
$60 goes a long way there. Nice.
I know a good deal when I see one. Thank you know. But yeah, mostly Airbnbs. And then every once in a while I'll stay in like a hostel and
Okay.
then I'll party with a bunch of 20-year-olds and then I'll remember why I don't do
Don't
that
party
anymore.
like you're 20 anymore.
Exactly. I'll be like,
Yeah,
I'll even
I
admit
hear you.
that. That's right. That's right.
So, what's this business that you're starting?
Yeah, so kind of two things. I coach organizations, coach companies, teach them how to sell properly, set up the proper sales process. I've been in sales forever. And so I found a gift in coaching and teaching others how to sell effectively and
Kind of like
authentically.
consulting.
Yeah. So basically, I can for businesses. And then kind of a side passion of mine is helping develop younger men, like 20s, helping them live courageously. I find that we're kind of like, you know, we're kind of in an age right now where, you know, we're getting soft, you know,
No
and
argument.
right, we're just getting soft. And that's the product of, you know, the people before us that have made it so good, you know, made the living so easy that I think just the majority of people have just gotten soft and they forgot how to like, you know, lean into like like living with masculinity, like being a man, you
Yeah.
know, and speaking their truth and showing up in the world. And instead, they're full of anxiety and, you know, afraid to go up and just say hello to a beautiful woman. It's ridiculous, right? And so that's something I put a lot of effort into as well as spending time to level guys up and myself. I don't have all the answers, but I have a desire to help lift other men up.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you're obviously not Andrew Tate, so you're kind of going about it a certain way. So,
Yeah.
what is your approach to showing younger guys how to be a man?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I love that. I'd love to answer that too. So I could go on forever, but I'll share kind of some of the main things.
We don't
So
have
the
forever.
main things.
We got
Okay,
the
cool.
time.
We'll keep it to the short one. So the main thing for me is installing good habits. Good habits, like good morning rituals, like waking up immediately and giving back to self before you get on your phone, before you start scrolling Facebook and Instagram and all this shit. That's just directly putting inputs into yourself. Input to your own self first. So through meditation. So typically 20, 30 minutes meditation first thing, and then working out. I know it seems simple, like obviously going to the gym is good, but like just getting that in first, it gets your frequency up and your state up so that you can show up better. And when you're physically in good shape, you're more capable of taking care of yourself, protecting your woman, your family, whatever, and also speaking your truth more. So, for instance, if you're just a fragile person, you're going to have a less likely time to speak up in a conflict because you're afraid you're going to get your ass kicked. Right. But if you take care of yourself, then you have more confidence to say what you need to say in a moment like that. So that's part of it. The other thing is leaning into what scares you, leaning into to actually like, okay, what am I avoiding right now out of fear? What conversation am I avoiding having with my partner or my family or my friends just because I don't want to ruffle feathers? Like, fuck that. Like, stop being a pussy. Right. Speak up, say what's on your mind. And then what things am I avoiding? Like, am I avoiding activities in my life? Like, what do I really want to do? Do I want to ride my motorcycle to South America, but I'm afraid because everyone told me I'm going to get my bike stolen by the cartel? You know how many people told me that? You know how many times I had to, how many options I had to just abandon this trip because it's too dangerous?
Probably a lot.
A ton. All my friends and friends of friends in Austin, Texas were telling me that I'm crazy. Oh man, you're crazy. You don't want to go. Wait, you're going alone? Man, don't you know there's cartel there? It's like, yeah, I know that. I know it's possible. It's not impossible. It could still happen. Bad things do happen, but it's just something I'm going to do regardless. I've already made the decision to do it.
Well, it really seems like you're in the you're into adventure. You're wanting to discover something that you don't know of. Like, how do people live in Nicaragua or Colombia or wherever?
Yeah.
I know you mentioned that you were overseas before, and before we started this, you had mentioned Thailand. How was Thailand?
Thailand was epic. That's what really kicked off my, like, I would say, like, my wanderlust of being like traveling and really going out and being away for extended periods of time and getting comfortable traveling by myself. I flew over there with two buddies on a 2 week trip. We got a round trip tickets, and 2 weeks into the trip, we're on this random tiny little island called Koh Tao. Mm-hmm. And I'm living out of this little backpack. I got nothing on me, little backpack. And we're supposed to catch a boat to head back to Bangkok and fly back home. And I'm like, guys, I'm not leaving. And they're like, dude, shut up. Let's go. And I'm like, I'm staying. I'm going to be a dive instructor. And they're like, all right, whatever. So they left and I just missed my flight on purpose and stayed there another month. And then I went completely broke and was like, okay, I'm an idiot. I can't stay here. I don't have any source of income. You know what I mean? So right, I leaving from there, I did milk it as far as I could though. I lived very frugally and ended up getting my backpack stolen. I was living out of a garbage bag for a good 6 months in Thailand. Just the remaining things I had, just living out of garbage bag. That was cool. And then I flew over to Australia, ended up getting a job there and ended up living there for about 3.5 years. So
how was Australia?
Australia is amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Big fan. Yeah. Melbourne was the big city I was living in. And Australians, man, they the culture there is incredible. They just are all about a good time. It was cool. Have you guys made it out there? Been to Australia?
No.
This is a bikers podcast. This is not an adventure travel podcast.
Well, no, it isn't. But at the same time, we're kind of the fact that you're out riding a motorcycle, that's where we're talking to you. And that's why we kind of started this podcast. Talk to guys like you that are going to go and jump on a motorcycle and go wherever the wind takes them.
Well, I mean, yeah. You had a little layover time. So you decided to fucking ride over to North Carolina. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and it's not like the weather's fantastic right now up there either. You know, that was about a month ago.
Yeah.
It was pretty
almost 2 months ago. Cool. I ran through a lot of rain for sure.
Yeah, there was a lot of rain because I know I was up in South Carolina and Greenville area for one day to pick up my bike and then ride it back down. And it was, I had all my leathers and shit on. It was pretty cool.
I think you guys will like this risky move I just did. So I checked out of an Airbnb yesterday and I was kind of doing a little look over of all my stuff. And I'm like, is it time to lighten the load a little bit? And I just said, fuck it. I took all my rain gear out of my bag and just threw it away. I'm just like, you know what? If I, you know, then at least down here, the rain you ride through will be warm. I'm just like, I haven't used it the whole time and it's taken up all this space. And I just said, fuck it. I just threw it out.
Well, here's the deal with rain gear, right? I mean, bikers, they go out and they'll buy the Harley, you know, and they got all the you know. And the thing is that it starts to rain and then you're soaking wet. You don't want to put the fucking shit on at that point in time.
No.
It just doesn't make sense. You'll dry.
Yeah. And the damn weather reports, I've been buffooned by the weather reports over and over again. You know, I mean, I'll look and it'll say it's clear. You start riding, rain. Or it says it's going to rain and it doesn't. And you're just like, and then you wear rain gear or thick rain gear and you're sweating your balls off the whole trip. You know what I mean? You're like, man, you can't win.
Sounds like South Florida.
There you go.
So what's something that you experienced that you didn't expect?
Like, I got a list.
Yeah, please. Let's have the list.
I got a list for sure. Something I didn't expect is damn near every border crossing I've been to, I've been stung by a bee. I don't know why that continues to happen. It doesn't make any sense. But I just continuously get, it's like a passport stamp in and out, like stung in, stung out. Like it is ridiculous. I don't know why I'm being stung so frequently. Like, is it just me? Do you guys get stung when you're riding a lot? Is that just a biker thing that I'm just late to the game to finding out? Because I get stung all the fucking time.
Not while riding.
I actually got stung once while I was riding.
I'm probably looking at like seven.
They'll get caught in my hair, caught in my beard, you know. We did have a club brother, though, get stung in the back of his throat and had to swell up. You had to ride him to the hospital, brother.
Yeah, I did have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not I got just stung one time in my ass.
What?
Yeah. So apparently a yellow
That's
jacket.
That's talent, by the way.
Exactly.
You can't teach that.
You can't. Right.
No.
So apparently a yellow jacket bounced off the girl behind these fucking tits, went down my back, went down the back of my pants, and stung me in the ass. It was the most brutal 200 miles I ever had to put on because I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know? And
well, you hit a crow too, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I did hit a crow too.
Yeah.
Where'd he take you out?
Huh?
Where'd he hit you?
Well, technically, he didn't hit me. He hit my handlebars. Okay. It literally folded over my handlebars. And you don't know how big a crow is until it's stuck in your handlebars doing 80 down a two-lane highway.
Yeah.
That's a big goddamn bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a hummingbird crack my glass frame, my sunglasses frames. But it's just, you know, you put in enough time on the road, I mean,
Something weird
going to happen. Yeah. So how's the bike? No, go ahead. No, we're stepping on each other. Please, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of weird shit, so bee stings, I actually crossed illegally into Guatemala following Google Maps. That was cool. But I was in way too deep that I just couldn't turn around. I had committed because the road, I'm stubborn as shit, by the way. I'm so stubborn. And so the road just got worse and worse. And I'm like, I could make it. And then I'm starting to be like, I can't turn around now. I mean, it was like a BMX, like motocross trail. Like it was muddy and it was like this, and it was just getting really bad. And Scout Bobber ain't made for that. Right. So I get further and further in, and I see that I'm coming up to a body of, well, to a river. And on Google Maps, it clearly states, yeah, you can cross here. Well, I get there and I'm just riding up. I can see you guys the picture later. It's hilarious. I just ride up to a river. Like, imagine like a boat ramp, but just dirt and gravel. So I'm just riding up to water and I'm like, that doesn't make any damn sense. On the map, it just says drive through. I'm not driving through a river. And so I'm just like, what am I going to do? And out of nowhere, this guy just comes rowing up on this little boat with a wooden paddle, this wooden boat. I mean, it just paddles up and in very terrible broken Spanish, I'm telling him I need to get across. And he's just like, si, no problem. No problema. And I'm like, oh God. He breaks out this little plank and we start putting the bike up. And I'm like, this is not good. Like, this ain't good. And of course, we throw the bike right in the river. I threw the whole half front of my bike right in the freaking river, like 3.5 feet off the ground. We just dump it. And I'm like shitting myself. Like, it's going to, like, do we break something? But man, she held up. Those things are tanks, by the way. I am so freaking impressed by this bike. I'm just like, man, this thing's been through hell, you know? And I mean, to survive that drop and then get it back up on there and put it on and get it off and then be able to ride. You know, the worst thing that happened was the shift rod was just bent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, so we just hammered that out.
I thought you got that changed. Didn't you say the shift arrived? You had to get a new part or whatever?
I shipped one out to Panama. And then I ended up just saying, hey, there's got to be a way to fix this. So I went into a buddy's shop and we just hammered it out and flattened it out. So I was like, there we go. That's smart there. So that did the trick. But that's the worst thing that happened on that. The other thing is in Mexico, I was driving through Salina Cruz. Don't ever go there. Sleepy town, nothing going on. I got there right at sunset. And really, there hadn't been any place that I felt really sketched out. And this was just kind of on the edge of it because you guys got to understand, when you're driving down roads in Central Latin America, like, all these cars have these cheap car alarms. So a little vibration sets them off. So I'm going down the road, setting off all the car alarms, right? And drawing all this attention to myself. And it's dark and I'm lost. The Airbnb directions were incorrect. So they resent it to me. I realize I'm on the wrong side of town. So now it's navving me across town. And I'm going through these dark alleyways that just keep getting thinner and thinner and narrower. And all of a sudden I find myself on this steep decline. And I mean, it just got like that, right? And I'm holding both brakes and I'm like, geez, man, like, whoa, man, this is steep. And all of a sudden I come across stairs. Well, it's too narrow to turn the bike around. I would need someone to help me push the bike back up. So my options are hit the stairs, like go crush these stairs and let's see how long this staircase is, or start calling for help in Salina Cruz, this random, seemingly kind of a little sketchy spot in Mexico. Just start calling for help. What option would you guys choose?
I don't know.
Take your chances with the stairs. and see what this bike is made of, or just call for help in a place that you might not like who comes to help you.
Well, see, I know what I should say, but I know what I would do. And I would take my chance with the stairs.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. My man.
Because, yeah, asking for help isn't a strong suit of mine. But.
And maybe it's
Boy. sorry. He caught me off guard there. Happens all the time. He's lying.
I'm full send. Just fuck it. Let's see what happens. What you're describing sounds like the UP to me, Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Okay.
And I've had many of journeys up there, and there's nothing but gravel roads and washouts and old mines, and we'll go bebopping around there.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get yourself stuck in a situation where you're in some town that really doesn't have a name. There's like five people that live there, and they're all related, and they all somehow have kids, which is weird.
Yeah.
And you just have to do what you got to do. You know, it's like, fuck it. I'm taking the stairs on a motorcycle. Let's see what happens. So
I could see the end of the stairs, which was nice. The problem is when I got to the bottom of those stairs, there was another set. And the problem with that is when I got to the bottom of those stairs, there was another set. And then,
turtles all the way down. Jesus Christ.
And it was, weaving. And luckily they were kind of narrow, so they weren't real deep. Right. So that was my only savior. And that's what gave me a little more confidence to go for it. But they were deep enough to scrape the bike pretty much the whole way down. So I was just like holding my breath and trying to freaking just, not, I don't know, pop a tire or something. I was just like, okay, let's get it done. But got to the bottom and kind of gave it a little look over, and she was good to go. Kept journeying.
Well, one thing I want to know is, and sorry, Dirty, I cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I apologize. I just want to know the condition of the roads, because like Wisconsin has like, I don't know, was it fourth or fifth worst roads in America? It's like they're pretty
shit.
Bad. They're shit. I mean, how are the roads been?
You know, I would say on like a scale of 1 to 10, 7 to 8, pretty normally, maybe 9, even 10 in some areas. It's very, very they're very easy to navigate. Like there's just been, I've gotten into a couple pinches that are really my own fault just because I'm not a researcher. And if I look up a directions to a place, it would take me 2 more seconds to just look and see if those roads are like side roads. So I've kind of gone down some shit roads and been like, oh, that's stupid, and then turn around and leave. But if you just stay on the main roads, I mean, there's clean highways all the way to where I'm at right now. And if you book ahead, like when I go to book Airbnbs, if I just ask them ahead of time, hey, how's the road? I can find out. But there's been a couple occasions where I booked a place that's clearly way off the grid. And then I'm like a mile from the place, and I realize I'm going down some treacherous road for a mile, but nothing that my bike hasn't been able to do. And scouts are real low. You know what I mean? They're quite low. So I've been surprised. You know, fuck, better than Texas, honestly. Driving around Austin, I'm like, geez, man. There's some pretty like not so great roads there. And the roads will be pretty smooth.
We've got potholes that'll suck your whole front end in, but
there's been a couple times driving down the road and there's just a manhole cover missing. That's scary as shit.
That's Chicago in the south end, no problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I gotta ask, you're doing all this traveling in South America. Why the Indian Scout, not like, say, an adventure bike, some sort of like, all terrain type motorcycle?
Yeah, like a Tiger.
Yeah, the answer is really simple. It would make so much more sense to get a bike like that.
But that would have been the easy way.
Every piece of logical information you could acquire would tell you, fucking get an adventure bike. And I did shop around for one. I sat on a couple. Test drove one, and to be honest, once I got on it and started riding, I hated it. I just was like, I feel like I'm sitting straight up. It had no guts. It just didn't. I'm sure there's other ones that I could have got on that didn't, but I just honestly, I was like, I just love my bike. It's so comfortable. I can ride it for 12 hours and not have an issue. Like I can just ride that. I can ride that Scout to the moon and be fine. And so that's really what it came down to, is like, let's see what this bike's made of. Like, I don't want to ride anything else. And if it becomes too difficult and I have to turn around, that'll suck, but I'm willing to give it a shot. And that's what it came down to.
And so far, so good.
So far, so good. Honestly, it's done way more than I thought it was capable of. I thought I was going to break it a few times. Like, okay, I'm like going up rocks right now. So, yeah, I've been shocked.
So let's say a young man wants to do something like this. What advice would you have for him? What have you learned? Like, oh, I didn't know this. If I knew this before, I would have done something differently or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if a guy asked you, hey, I want to do this, what would you say to him?
Yeah. I would say don't believe everyone who says it's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, shit can happen, but shit can happen in Chicago, can it? Shit can happen in Florida, can it? Shit happens in Florida. Shit happens in San Francisco. Like, there's bad people and bad shit going on everywhere. So don't let that get in your head. Because that's the biggest one for me, is I think most people just wouldn't even think to do it because, you know, Mexico's too dangerous, right? So that's the other one. And the other one is just like, probably just do your homework on the borders. Or don't like me. Just go and figure it out as you go. You know what I mean? I think the main thing is just like, if you have a desire to do it, just fucking do it. Like, you don't have to plan.
What's the culture of like the locals? Are they welcoming? Are they standoffish? What's the culture like down there?
Yeah, so welcoming. So you have all these countries through Central America that, you know, El Salvador would be the best example of this. So El Salvador, I don't know if you guys know much about it, but that was a fairly dangerous place years ago, right? And it's made a lot of great jumps and changes. Like, they're under a new president. He's made a lot of changes. And the place is, it's probably the safest country now in Central America. Yes. Incredibly safe. Beautiful beaches, beautiful cities, incredible. They are the nicest people I've ever met, because I'm the only freaking gringo running around, right? I'm in the big city. I'm in San Salvador, El Salvador. And they're just like, they're coming up to me and they're just like a freaking white dude is here, you know? So they're at that stage where people coming to visit them is new. And so they're thrilled by it. And being on a motorcycle and putting myself in a lot different places than the average traveler would go. Like I said earlier, right? I'm going to places in Mexico that the average gringo wouldn't be, because we all go to Cabo, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, all these places, right? And so when I get there, people are just like I'll have like it, to talk about the culture. One of the coolest things, I'll be like riding down the road, and it's something with my bike, but you know, the bike's got some pipes, and it's so cute, man. I'll be riding down in this like almost like an indigenous community, right? You got people that are just working on the side of the roads, you know, cutting wood, piling it, stacking wood, doing all these things, like these kind of like old school, you know, trades. And there'll be, their kids are just hanging out in the street, and it's so cute. I'll be riding down like a highway, and kids will be like, you know, they'll all be like staring at me, waving and telling me to, you know, rev it up. And I'll just give it some juice. And they're just like, wow. So I'm very welcomed. Like, they love it. And they don't see the type of bikes we ride in the States.
So, you know, what?
It's new to them.
So you're embedded with these people, I assume, right? You're not going to resorts. You're not doing the American, I need to find a McDonald's right away, right?
No.
So what's the local cuisine like? What's the food like?
Have as you far eaten as, bugs like, yet?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you go into a restaurant and you open up, you know, if they have a menu, like, what are we eating while we're down there?
Yeah.
Every part of the animal.
Yeah. So hopefully the audio is good too, guys. I just realized I didn't throw in my headphones. I can try and throw them in.
We would have complained about that. No, you're fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Food's been good. You know, it's interesting how different the cuisine is, really. You know, country by country, you know, you think like, oh, like, I'm just going to go get some tacos in El Salvador or Honduras, or, and it's like, that's not really their thing. They have Mexican restaurants. Like, I'm in Nicaragua. I can go, there's a Mexican restaurant here that I can get Mexican food, but they have, you know, Nicaraguan food, you know?
Well, what's the difference?
So it's just kind of like the way it's made, but still similar kind of ingredients, I'm going to get murdered by my Nicaraguan friends if I say this wrong, but pinto y gallo is one of their main cuisines here. And it's like, you know, pinto beans and arroz, rice and chicken. And then they have like plantains. They do like a lot of fried plantains. So they're kind of like softer, but they have like that fried kind of move on them. They're sweet, they're good, or madura, I think they call them, the fried plantains. And then they also do like a fried cheese. So it's almost it's cow cheese, but it's like soft, and they kind of like fry it, or they'll just have it non-fried as well, but like kind of almost like a little patty, like a little cheese freaking patty they just throw on the plate. But that's kind of their thing. And they do like a, oh, this is an interesting one. They do like a coleslaw here in Nicaragua. I haven't had it until I've been here. It's like a coleslaw, but it almost has like a yogurty kind of flavor to it. It's bomb. Super
Really?
good. And their steaks are good down here too, if you go to the right places. A lot of places just do like the skirt steak, but I
Right.
like to find places that do like a proper ribeye or something like that, or tomahawk. But man, some of these places you can get a big ass tomahawk for like $20, $25.
Wow.
And it's like
Wow, yeah.
that's not happening in the States. So that's
That's
cool.
also the reason I ask is because a lot of people, when they say, oh, I'm going to go traveling all over South America, they're worried about the food because there is no FDA down there. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody making sure that you're not going to get sick from eating whatever, because we all have that horror story about going to Juarez or,
Right.
whatever, and you get
Getting mountains
that
in
street
revenge.
burrito that makes you shit your pants for 2 days.
Yeah. You know what's funny, man? I you know, hopefully this is well received, but I regularly like call the US like a clown world. Like it's a clown, like the shit that's going on with our food. Like without getting too political, right? Like they're fucking poisoning us. Right? Like
Have been
the
for decades.
they've been doing that for decades. And so to go counter on you on that, like, man. Like you don't have to go buy organic food here. It's just organic. They're not doing all that
The
shit.
way it used to be here.
Yes, like normal. Like what a concept that you just get food from a farm and bring it to a store and you buy it. Like what a freaking concept. And so it's unusual the way that we're eating in the US. That's unusual. Like it's just normal. So the quality's great here. And maybe they don't have the same standards. Like you go to a butcher here, and they're just like everything's just sitting out, like there's no fridge or anything. And you're like, am I gonna die? Am I gonna die from buying this meat? Like, it's crazy that that's how they store meat, but apparently that's okay. I don't know. But besides some of that cleanly stuff, you know, that we might have like a different rules around, you know, cleaning stuff. I mean, I don't know, seems to be working for them, but it's good quality.
Well, that's kind of my point, because I'm sure you're aware of the Anthony Bourdain Without Borders, where he would travel and eat all this food and stuff like that. And it always used to blow my mind because here are these countries that, you would think are kind of savage or whatever, they don't have a whole lot of government regulations, but yet nobody's getting sick and dying from eating there. It seems to
No.
be really good.
Yeah, because their immune
So,
system is a lot healthier, in my opinion. I think they
right.
just
Well,
withstand
they're
more.
used to it.
They're more exposed.
Very much so. We're very antiseptic in this country, and so when there's not a lot of germs that are reintroduced into your system, you lose, for lack of a better term, you lose your biological filter,
Your
yeah,
gut biome, yeah.
yeah, your gut bio, your flora, your fauna, it's all gone. So, but
So after you're done traveling South America, what's next?
yeah, good question. So the idea is to get down to South America, do a big circle, hit every country, do some good exploring. It's probably going to take me the better part of a year, year and a half. Every time
Sure.
someone asks me how long, it keeps getting longer because I'm doing the math. I'm like, I'm not going to do this in 6 months. I kept saying it's like 3 to 6 months. And now I'm like, that's impossible. So then I'm like a year. And now I've been saying a year for a while. And now I'm like a year and a half. Right. But so probably a year and a half down and back. You know, pending I don't find something that keeps me down there. But come back and I just feel like I want to do it again. I want to do it again in Europe. I want to pick up an Indian over there and kind of do the same thing. See if I can tie together Europe, Africa, and Asia. So pretty ambitious, but we'll see. It's got to get this one done first. Got to get out of this one alive. Get home. You know, and then regroup and then talk about the next one. But I have a desire to do it, to continue it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind bebopping around the Eastern European Slavic countries. They seem kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, same.
They kind of got that taste of the Cold War that's still kind of there, but not really. And
yeah,
I mean, I'll probably wait for Russian and Ukraine to figure out their bullshit, but you know what I mean.
Well, go right now, you know, just make it interesting.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I just think of what's that movie Euro Trip when they're just like, oh yeah, Bratislava is so, it's so beautiful in this, in the summertime. It's good you're here. And there's like a dog sitting there with a human mouth and its human human hand in its mouth or whatever, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, Croatia and all those places. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Scandinavia is nice.
Well, and they got a pretty big biker community over there.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So,
well, hey, I appreciate you guys having me on because, you know, I'm building a business. I'm very focused on my business. I'm focused on my trip. And it just came up for me to reach out to you guys because, like, man, I'd love to just chat with some people that get it. You know, people that maybe not exactly what I'm doing, but you get the lust to go travel and get on your bike and just go. You know what I mean? And so that's why I wanted to chat with you guys. Just thought it'd be fun to just chop it up and just kind of chat, you know, jumping on a motorcycle and hitting a bunch of miles, you know, for no reason, for no damn reason other than just for the joy of doing it.
Well, you only go around on this rock once. You might as well experience it all.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people would look at where I'm at in terms of, I just started my business last year. And I think it doesn't make sense, much like, you know, riding an Indian doesn't make sense over an adventure bike. It doesn't make sense to go on a trip that's going to consume this much time when you're starting a business. But the weird thing is it's been exactly what I needed. Because when you run a business, I don't know, you guys do outside of the podcast, but like when you run a business, like your business is an extension of yourself. Right? It's an extension of you. If you're happy, if you're down, if you feel like shit, it's going to show up in your business. And so, yeah, if I just hold up in my house and just set a bunch of time aside, I could technically put more hours into my business. And maybe on paper, it seems like I would grow it faster. But I'm having the time of my fucking life. I'm having the time of my life. And it's like, that's how I can give best to my customers, to my clients, to my prospect. Like, I can just give people so much energy because I'm overflowing with it. Like I'm waking up so stoked and happy and enjoying my life that like I can put so much quality energy into my business. So it's just been cool to like prove myself wrong on that and be like, well, man.
It sounds like you've got the right idea, man. I mean, you're doing, what do they say? Life is an outer projection that we experience of an inner condition. And so you literally do, you know, get out of life what you put into it.
Yeah.
So we need to stay in touch with him. What do you think, brother?
Absolutely. So what's the name of the business, by the way?
So the business right now it's called, well, my personal brand is probably what you'd want to check out. If you just check me out on Instagram, you can kind of see what I do.
And we'll have the links down there in the description shit.
Yeah. I named it with a buddy, Tigerblood. .io originally, but I've kind of pivoted from that brand. So if you look at that, you might not really see my whole thing. But if you check out my Instagram, it's better to see what I'm doing there.
Is that like a Charlie Sheen reference?
No, it's not.
It'd be way cooler if it was, man. But
it's a whole different reference. It's around personalities. I think I got that tiger blood in me. You know, that little bit of tiger blood in me. A little different energetics behind that, but hey, I collabed on a post with you guys though, a recent post.
Oh yeah.
And if you guys are on Instagram, right?
Yep. Dirty is a lie. Yeah.
Okay. If you guys find me on there, I collabed with you on a post, and it's kicking off right now. So that could be a good way to kind of showcase where I'm at, what it looks like. It's a little video of me sitting on my bike overlooking Antigua, Guatemala, with this big volcano in the back at sunset. It's gorgeous.
I saw the picture. It looked like it didn't suck.
It did not suck. And no, it's totally, I mean, not. It looks like AI. It looks crazy.
And I mean, stay in touch with us, you know, keep sending that shit through Instagram and keep us your progress. So I'm going to hit you up here. You do the messenger thing, obviously, but
yeah,
you do the Facebook thing.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, I'm on there.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll reach out to you there too, and We'll try to maintain something because I think it's interesting in hell. I mean, you sold me on Nicaragua. You know, you got this really cool room with this special observation tower. You climb up a ladder, and they got some free hot chick or whatever that comes with it too for $60.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny. I feel like most people are like, oh, the women and the Latin American women and all this. But man, I've been a man on a mission. I've just been focused. I'm just doing me. I'm not like out here like hunting ladies all day long, but I actually met this girl the first day in Managua, and she's more than just a pretty face. She's just really cool. And so we've just been having a good time. This has spent pretty much the whole week with her. And so I actually had to jump on the back. Oh, and she rides, by the way. She rides a little Honda Navi or Navi, as we might say.
like a
Have you
little
guys heard
scooter.
those? Yeah, pretty much like a
Yeah,
scooter. She looks good
well,
on it.
I mean, I'll put it to you like this, man. What you're doing is pretty awesome, dude. I mean,
Appreciate it,
you're
man.
out there pounding pavement, you're in other countries, you're doing all the big things, and that's cool, man. And that's why we started this thing, and that's why we wanted to talk to you, because
Yeah,
not many
that's
people do what you're doing. You know, a lot of people are very comfortable with their McRibs and their, you know, lattes and all that
bowling on
bullshit.
Wednesday, fish fry on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, we're all around guys that, you know, they say they're bikers, but, you know, all they do is ride from bar to bar in their own hometown. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And that's fucking gay,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But, you
Yeah.
know, you're out there going continent to continent, man. That's awesome. You know?
Appreciate that. I appreciate
And,
that. If
what
anything,
if
I
I
hope
can.
if someone's listening to this, your question around like what do you think if someone's thinking about doing it, it's like get out of here, come stop prioritizing comfort. Fuck
Yeah.
comfort. Like fuck comfort.
You're
Stop
preaching to the
prioritizing.
choir here.
You know what I mean? Like, stop prioritizing that. It's like, what do you really want to do? And why aren't you doing it? Like, go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's so,
Yeah.
it's, you don't want to be, you know, living your life and get to the end of your life and be like, oh, I should have done that. It's like, well, why didn't you? Just go
And
do it.
you don't necessarily have to go to, you know, another country or whatever. You could just go to another state.
Yes.
Just jump on your scooter and fucking ride to the Grand Canyon, if you will.
Yeah. Jump out
It's
of an
not about
airplane.
doing, yeah, it's not about doing anything that someone else wants to do that thinks is cool. It's about what do you think is cool that you want to do? Like, because
Yeah.
everybody has like a thing that they want to do. We all have a desire. We see something on TV, we see something somewhere, we go, ooh, that resonates. I want to do that. And then 10 years goes by and you don't do it. So it's just like, man, like stop playing small on that and just go like chase whatever it is you want to do. You know, like I'll throw out something to you guys. You guys might laugh at this because it's kind of dumb and I feel stupid sharing it, but that's why I know I
That's what
should share.
this podcast is for.
Yeah,
We're
I feel
all
stupid
about being
sharing
stupid.
it.
That's right.
And that tells me that I definitely should share it. But like one of the things, like I hired a professional photographer to video and do some stuff, and he got some great footage. And I got it back and I was like, holy shit, this guy is magnificent. The content is so great. And it just changed like a side quest for me. And I was like, I want to like be on a magazine for Indian motorcycles. Like, and it sounded so dumb when I said it, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna do it. Like, I'm gonna do it. So I'm sharing that with you guys for accountability. That's for me to stop feeling stupid about it and just be like, you're gonna do that. So that's my side quest, guys. I want to get that shit featured on Indian. Become an ambassador for those guys.
Hey
Because
man, I
no
wish you
one's
the
taking a
best of luck.
scout. No one's dumb enough to take a scout down to South America.
Hey man, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Right. My
Yeah,
man.
right on.
Well, hey guys,
Well,
been
any
awesome.
final words?
I think that was it. Those are the final words.
Those are the final words.
Those are the final words.
I
You
would
know?
sum this up with just don't be a pussy and do it.
Don't be a pussy and do it. I love that.
That's
Agreed.
right. That's
Fuck
right.
yeah.
Well, Brock, man, I'm glad you reached out to us initially. I'm glad we started the wrap and had a chance to, as you said, mix it up a little here. And
Yeah, cool.
just remember while you're down there in the third world, well, we could be in the third world now and you're in the regular world. I don't know. Then the world's all upended. But just remember, most dangerous part on your motorcycle is the nut that connects the seat to the handlebars. Peace.
All right. Got it.
Adios.
Ciao, guys.
Later.